So in Galatians 3:2, he says, let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ. How foolish can you be after starting your Christian lives in the Spirit? Why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? So Paul's saying, look, basically everything good that's happened to you since you got saved was by the Holy Spirit. So how come all of a sudden you want to move away from the Holy Spirit and start doing all these things to help the Holy Spirit along? So I got saved by the Holy Spirit. I am being blessed. I'm seeing healing. I'm seeing the love of God. But to finish what I'm doing, I think I need to add these rules, right? And so the Galatians must have been taking kind of to heart this same issue that Paul was addressing with Peter. All of a sudden, these rules, these regulations were things that were getting in their way of what they started out doing, okay? He basically says, look, do what got you here. Whatever you were doing that got you to this point, keep doing that. And there's a lot of wisdom in that. If you started out something and you've been doing good, why are you changing it up, right? Stay in that. So we drop down to 3, verse 8. Or 3:7-8, it says, the real children of Abraham, then are those who put their faith in God. What's more, the scriptures look ahead to this time when God would declare the Gentiles to be righteous because of their faith. God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, all nations will be blessed through you. So because you walk in faith, you're justified by it. God calls you children of Abraham. And God saw this way, way back before you were born. And so he laid it out for you in the scripture. Verse 12 says, this way of faith is very different from the way of law, which says it is through obeying the law that a person has life. Okay, so Paul now starts to make a differentiation. This way of faith is different than this way of regulation. The circumcision that he used, that law, this way of faith is different. And he wants to point that out. Why? Well, he uses Abraham. Abraham lived before Moses. He lived a long time before Moses, 400 years or so. He lived a long time, so there was no laws when Abraham, but Abraham got the promise. The promise wasn't given to Moses. The law was given to Moses, but the promise was given to Abraham, right? And so being a child of Abraham is you're a child of the promise. You're not a child of the law. So you're not a child of these rules and regulations, okay? So then why the law? Well, it's still bad to kill people. It's still bad to lie. It's still bad to cheat. It's still bad to dishonor your parents. All that is true, but God didn't want you to hear the promise after he gave you the rules because he didn't want you to think that the promise was by obeying the rules. The promise is before the rules. Now, the law tells you the boundaries of what God believes. But if he gives you the promise first, that makes the promise preeminent over the law. I think I like to explain it this way. In sports, right, you have boundaries. So on a football field, you have lines. And the lines in the middle, they help you set the plays up. But the lines on the outside, that's out of bounds. Right? But the coach only tells you don't run out of bounds when you're close to the line. Right? But you play the game in the middle of the field. There is a lot of things you can do other than run out of bounds. Right? Out of bounds just marks the boundaries. That's what the law is. That's what the Ten Commandments are. Right? The Ten Commandments are those boundaries. If you are constantly over by the boundary, you're not playing the game good. So if your whole time is spent like, don't lie, don't lie, don't lie, don't lie, don't lie, don't lie, there's a lot more you can do other than lie. You're not playing the game good. Let's use basketball. In basketball, you have rules that are in the game, right? So no traveling, right? So if you have the basketball, you can shoot it, you can dribble. Right, And so traveling is when you run with the ball, can't do that, right? And so if I say no traveling is a rule in the game, well, how many of you know that that doesn't stop me from dribbling between my legs or going behind my back or getting as fancy or as basic as I want, right? I'm still within the rules, but it does not determine the excellence that I play the game with. That's the law. The law of these rules, if you spend all your time worrying about the law, you're not playing the game right, all right? Galatians 26, let's drop down there. So it says, for you are all children of God through faith in Jesus. And a little bit higher up, he calls you all, he says the law is a teacher, a schoolmaster, which I kind of explained. All right, so let's jump through Galatians 4. Galatians 4, I'm not even going to read any of it. He talks about being unable to receive the inheritance when you're immature. Like humanity was immature. They weren't able to, you know, receive the promise. And so it says that when you're immature and God can't really work with you, then you're about the same as a slave. But if you grow up, then you receive the promise and it's all yours. He tells the Galatians, don't turn your back on what God has done for you. You know, Paul gives an incident of when he was being helped by the Galatians. And he's like, look, me and you were cool. Remember that time you helped me out? Then some other jokers came. They said they were cool with you, but they only want to help you if you hurt me. If you turn your back on me, if you stop doing the things that made us close, then they want to help you. They don't have pure motives. I just want to help you because I like you, because I have pure motives. And so that's what he's talking about in there. And then he goes on to talk about Sarah and Hagar. And there's a lot in there that would derail us. But basically, Sarah was Abraham's wife. Hagar was his mate. God promised him a son, and Sarah and Abraham decided that they were going to do it on their own. And so he went and he slept with his maid and had a son. And the scripture, Paul equates that son to the son of works, right? He didn't need God's promise to go sleep with his maid, have a kid. And then he was old then. Then he got real old. He was like 100. And his wife was real old, and then you know, that takes a promise. So he had a baby, Isaac. Paul puts them up before these Jews who would know the story and says, look, one is the son of promise, one is the son of the law, so to speak, and he gives that illustration. All right, so we've got to this point. Let's drop down to Galatians 5:1. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. So freedom from what? Freedom from having to carry the guilt of sin. Freedom to choose who you'll serve. Before, sin was the master, and you were only doing its bidding. Sacrifices that God had for them, they just covered sin. Right, it was just like sacrifice was like a hand, and God was like, I don't see it. Every year, I don't see it, and by the end of the year, I'm gonna get tired. He was like, sacrifice again. And the whole time, every time he put his hand up and saw the blood of a goat or a lamb, it was so he could bless. Right, so this whole time, God's trying to help. All right, so let's drop down to Galatians 5:4, and this is where we were going. For if you are trying to make yourself right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. But we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised us. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or not being circumcised. So there's no benefit in a rule or not a rule. What is important is faith expressing itself through love. And then 5:7, you were running the race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? All right, so there it is. That's our race. That's your race. That's my race. Let's go back up. For if you are trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. That's it. It's the race of grace. That is our race. Your race is to stay in a place where you are receiving and believing God's grace. Right? So you want to figure out, where do I go to school? It's in God's grace. What do I do next week? It's in God's grace. What do I do for the summer? It's in God's grace. What's grace? I'm going to give you a few people's definitions, and then we'll see. So the dictionary definition, unmerited favor. I've heard it, unmerited favor, working on your behalf. The name for all God's provision. Brother Copeland recently said, it's God desiring to treat each and every one of us as if we've never sinned. What grace is, basically, grace is everything that God wants to do for you. So God wants to heal you. That's grace. God wants to give you wisdom in a situation. That's grace. God wants to give you understanding and revelation. That's grace. God wants to help you with your homework, help you be successful in school, help you live with your parents without, you know, going crazy. Grace, grace, double grace, right? So let's talk about what we've learned in running our race. So the first week was starting your race. All right, the start of this race is, you know, you got to get saved. But say you got saved and you haven't been running too well. So you can start at any time. So start your race. You're going to start your race with your eyes what? On the goal. Like, no one starts a race and like, okay, when do I stop? Like, no, really, when do I stop? Like, that's my goal. If you say 100-meter dash, bam, right in the title. That's when I stop. At 101 meters, I'm done. Right? When do I stop? When do I reach my goal? So we talked about starting your race. Well, to start your race, eye on the goal. Right? So grace. That's what my eye is on. My eye is on Jesus. And because of Jesus, I'm tapped into his grace. Dedication. What am I dedicated to? Well, I'm dedicated to his grace. I'm dedicated to the grace of God. I'm dedicated to staying on track with that grace. Focus. What am I focused on? I'm focused on God's grace. You know, you could be looking at God while you're doing other things. Let me give you a natural example. So for me, when I play basketball, I worked out a lot by myself. You do a lot of skills drill, try to improve yourself. And you get really tired. I mean, I think Jen mentioned, like, you know, you run till you throw up, and you just get really tired. And when you're tired and you're by yourself, it's really easy to have a seat. You know, take a time out, take a little break. Well, when I worked out, my eyes were always on my opponent. I got tired, but I said I never got tired. Why? So if I'm running and I'm really tired, I'd be like, this guy, he don't get tired. I bet you he's still running. I bet you when you meet him on the field to compete, when he's better than you, you're going to wish you did one more. You're going to wish you kept going. How many know, like, I'm running, I'm on the court, I'm doing suicides, I'm doing whatever, but my eyes aren't on that court. My eyes are on my competition. My eyes are on the challenge that I have before you, right? So this race of grace, it doesn't matter what you're doing, your eye is on that grace. I found myself saying recently, I have a grace for excellence. I am grace with excellence. I wake up in the morning, thank you, Lord, that the grace of excellence is on me. Everything I do, I'm going to be excellent at. When I do something and it's hard, I'm like, man, this is challenging. Thank you, Lord, for that grace of excellence. Of course I'm doing my work, my job, or whatever I'm doing. But my eye, it's focused. It's on this grace. Training. But what am I training? Well, in the natural, I'm training to do whatever it is I'm trying to get better at. Grace doesn't mean, and this is funny what we'll talk about later, but grace doesn't mean I just sit down and do nothing. So I might be training naturally. But what am I training? Well, I'm training myself to stay in this grace, because at any point in time, I can move over into, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this, because this is how it's done. This will make me good. No, God is what makes you good. Now, you might have a talent for it, but you have a grace for it. Oh, I'm talented. I can really sing. You're graced to sing. I'm really smart in math. You're graced to be smart in math. I'm really good with my hands. You're graced to be good with your hands. Right? You remember that? When things get challenging, you don't see your limit. You see God. I don't have a limit. Not in Jesus. You ask me something I can't do, I'll say, well, you got to ask God. Right? It's a radical position. It's not a position of, I hope I do it all right, and I'm only 16, and I'm kind of waiting and hoping that I... No, we're talking about finishing our race strong. Not like flopping over the finish line like water. That's not what we're going for, right? We're talking about finishing strong. Then we talked about coaching. Everybody should receive instruction. I mean, it's hard when you're always seeing through these two eyes. So it's helpful to have someone who's not in you, in your body, looking at you saying, ah, that's not quite right. Well, that's what, right? We receive our ultimate coaching from God. The Holy Spirit tell you, yeah, you didn't do that quite right. You know, this walk of love, you know, when you got with your parents, what you said to them, that wasn't in love, right? That's a little coaching, right? The way you're studying, you know, with your iPad that doesn't have any study material on it, you know, something on YouTube, your book, you know, and a text, you know, that probably won't help you. You know, that's probably not going to help you. That's coaching. That's coaching. And so the Holy Spirit is going to coach you. The Holy Spirit is a grace. Jesus said, when I go up, I'll send you another helper. If Jesus didn't go up, Holy Spirit wouldn't be able to come. So that's a grace. But the Holy Spirit helping you, that's grace. Okay? And then endurance. And endurance is important. So we're going to talk about that again. All right, so endurance is what we talked about last week. And endurance is staying with it. Staying with it. Well, when you feel invincible, it's easy to stay with it. When you feel real small and very mortal, it's easy to quit. So if you go around and say, I'm not good at this, I'm going to fail at that, when you start the process of learning to do that thing, and you meet a setback, you're like, I told you. Done. I'm done. I quit. All right, there's no endurance in that. So endurance starts with what you believe about yourself. So endurance, if you're relying on God and his grace, endurance is easy. I don't got to endure anything. I just got to stay in grace. God gives me all of that. Right? So I don't have to worry about how long can I keep this up? Oh, I can't do this anymore. Lord, I can't do this situation anymore. It's not getting any better. Well, I don't want to do any situation. God does all my situations. He should do yours. He's willing. You just have to let him. All right? So how do we run this race and finish strong? The first thing is we have to remember why we're racing. So we talked about this. Why did we start our race? All right? So 2 Timothy 4:6 says, as for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. So this is Paul again talking to Timothy now. We already know what Paul considered his race. So he considered his race preaching grace. And he says he remained faithful. So he didn't care he was going to die. He just kept his eye on his race. I'm going to preach grace till I die. So you want to stay dedicated. You want to train the right way. Remembering why you're running is the key to endurance, the key to accepting coaching. And so what are we remembering? What are we saying to ourselves? Well, the Bible says put yourselves in remembrance. So what are you saying to yourself? Every day. Like, I know this isn't something like normally 15-year-olds say, but what are you saying to yourself? You should be saying, God is with me. I watched this movie. It was a movie, it was like a romantic movie, but it had basketball in it, so I watched it. and in it, the basketball players were ladies for the most part. And the girl was playing, and she was a European, but she was in like a European league, and she was playing against like an old nemesis, and they kind of jumped in her head, right? So like what she was thinking while she was playing. And she was like thinking all these things she had trained. So it's like she was dribbling. She'd be like, don't do this, do this, do this. It was almost like, you know, she was running. She was like, go left, go right, spin around. Okay, shoot this. And it was interesting because that's how you guys should be living. I mean, for lack of a better term, you always have these thoughts going on. And I know it's not necessarily what you're thinking about. You ask most young people, like, why'd you do that? I don't know. But there's a thought there. And your thought should be, God is with me. The grace of excellence is on me. Oh, I'm blessed to do this. I can do this. Why? Because God's doing it through me. Those should be your thoughts. That'll help you finish strong. When you get to the end and when you get tired, that endurance kicks in. Why? You endure because you're focused on grace. You no longer see that particular challenge. All you see, you know, like a person running. I don't know, has anybody, who here runs long distances? Right? Long distances. Like, you're like, I'm going to go for a 10-mile jog. You know, I mean, you know. Five? Yeah, no, that's not fun to me. When you first started, you get to that point where you're running so hard that you black out, right? Like, you're like, did I just run 2 blocks? You're just running, and you're running like, I'm just going to keep going, right? Well, something's carrying you. You're definitely tired enough not to concentrate, so something's carrying you. Your eye is on something. That's how you should run. You should run your race with your goal. So you're like, I'm going to run 10 miles. Usually don't stop if you get to 9.5 because you just want to say, I ran 10 miles. Yeah, I made it. I don't know. Hey, I crossed 3 major highways and jumped over a fire hydrant. I don't remember, but I made it. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize, so run to win. That's what it's saying. Run to win. You want to win? I like winning. I mean, I know we play at the end when I look back on whatever I've done, you know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, sometimes a couple days later, I'm happy to have participated. But don't ask me 1 minute after I lost if I'm happy to have participated. No. I like to win. That ain't fun. I need to go rethink my priorities. Because I'm wondering, I can't take a lot of losses. Like people that lose all the time, I don't even see how you do it. And stay Christian. Like, that's just like I need a waiver. I need like a Christian waiver. When I lose a lot, I'm gonna be like, Jesus, I'm gonna put this waiver on this. That's how, so run to win. God doesn't expect you to lose. He doesn't want you to lose. He doesn't want you to suffer any lack. He gave you a promise before he told you what displeases him. I mean, Abraham was lying. He was doing all kinds of stuff. He was sleeping with people that weren't his spouse. He was doing all kinds of stuff. And God never once was like, all right, see, I needed to give you this law. I mean, that's wrong, man. He never even said that to Abraham. He never even mentioned it. He didn't even tell Abraham, like, you shouldn't have did that. Right? Why? Because it's his desire to give you the promise. That's his desire. He wants you to win. And he's the ref. And he's, I don't know if you ever seen, anybody ever seen the Harlem Globetrotters? Like, they play the Washington Generals every time. This team they beat, like, they lost once or they never lost, right? And so it's almost like wrestling. It's basically the same except with basketball. So they'll be cheating. They'll be traveling and all these rules that you're not supposed to do in basketball. And then they'll have, like, one guy, he'll go to the ref and he'll be like, hey, man. And while the ref's looking at him, like, you know, they'll go pull a guy's shorts down. You know, they'll do all kind of things when the ref isn't looking. Well, you know what? Like, with God and his promise, before he gave the law, God wasn't looking. Just wasn't looking. He decided not to look. That should be encouraging. I don't know what you're going through or what you're doing or if there's anything that's making you fall over and over again or thoughts that you know are wrong. You've heard good preaching. You know that's not quite right. But God's desire is not to look. He doesn't want to look. All right, that should be encouraging to you. So when you feel like, oh, I don't qualify, he ain't trying to look. He don't want to see it. It's the devil. It says the devil always is coming and trying to accuse you. Because why? Because God's not looking. All right. So number two, how do we win? Well, we break the race into small pieces. If you're running 10 miles, when you get to like your end of like block one, or if you're on the treadmill and it goes like, you know, 0.1, 0.2, when it gets to 0.5, don't be like, woo, almost, you know, 9.5 to go. No, you run until it says one. You're like, all right, I'm going to get to two. I'll run it. Break your race up into small pieces. This race of grace will last your whole life. It's your whole life. It encompasses everything that you need to do in that life, okay? So if you break it into small pieces, then it's, where do I go to college? What do I focus on for the next school year? What do I do this summer? That's the small mile markers, right? So you run the race of grace with your mile marker. Well, that makes it easy because no point to point is very long. And so right when you're getting tired, oh, I got a new goal. I can run that one really fast. Oh, I'm getting tired. Oh, wait, a new goal. Oh, wait, a new goal. So every time you get to an accomplishment, how many know, like I always said, like my sophomore year in high school was like the longest. I'm not a freshman. There's no newness. I'm not even close to graduating. So it's like, man, this is going to take forever. And then you get to your senior year, you're like, man, time is flying. Like, right? It's almost like, and when you get and you graduate or you get there to the end, you're doing like all the end of year activities, you have all this energy and you're ready for college. Right, 2 years ago, you were tired. I can't make it. I can't go to English too. I can't do it. But now you're like, I'm going to college. Right, because you got to a goal and that energized you. Now all of a sudden you're ready for the next goal. Break your race into small chunks. Consider everything that you're doing now just a small piece. Look forward to the next challenge and the next challenge, right? Then that way there's no long race. You don't have to think about, I got to do this for the rest of my life. I mean, that's the longest race ever. Like, just run. When do you stop? When you die. What? That would be awful. So the race of grace is a fun thing, but you want to break it into small chunks. That'll allow you to get from goal to goal, marker to marker in a strong way. Use your past success to encourage yourself. But you have to understand, once you've made a goal, you don't look back anymore. Like, when you graduate high school and you get to college, when something bad happens, like, you know, you're like a social, like, faux pas. You just, like, super awkward silence. You just don't be like, I graduated high school. No one cares. Like, we all graduated high school. That no longer holds any relevance. When you're 17, you're like, I'm going to graduate high school. And everybody's, yeah. But when you're 19... when something bad happens, you're like, I graduated high school. No, stop it. Stop it. Keep your eye pointed forward. Use the past. Say, I know I graduated high school, so I know I can do this. But you have to understand that it's no longer going to give you any strength, that kind of strength. It will give you encouragement, but you need to look forward. You need to make sure you're watching going forward. And then... that picture says it all, but lean into it, right? You want to lean into grace. And so, you know, when they're running and they come to the finish line, they stick out their head because when the torso crosses, then that guy or girl, or I guess it's the head, whoever crosses wins. And they're leaning into it. And if it's a tight race, oftentimes the person that leans at just the right time, they win. Well, what does that mean, lean into it? It means let grace have its way. Grace is trying to do a work right now for you, but you might be fighting against it. All right, so Philippians 1:6. Let's go there. Philippians 1:6 says, I am certain that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So God is doing the work and he's finishing it. Lean into it. You lean into it. Let grace have its way. James 1, verse 3. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. All right? So he's talking about endurance. Now let's take a step back, like two tiny hops. We know that it is by faith through grace. Right? So it's your faith that links up with God's grace. Why? Because God's grace is constant. It is pouring out onto the earth for every human being on the planet. It is not particular or special to you as a Christian. Grace is here for you and anyone who will have at it. However, you have to have faith to tap into it. Right? And so that's something that has to grow. A little bit of faith opens the whole to a tremendous amount of grace in your life. A little bit of faith. That's why it only takes the faith of a mustard seed, because it's not really the faith that's producing. It's just the faith that opens the window to the grace, which is like a humongous, you know, like faucet over the planet. Right? And so in order to run strong, you want to have your faith linked up. And you want to let grace have its way. So if I let grace have its way, that means I believe there's grace. So I have faith in grace. So now grace has a big window into my life. All right. So I'm going to close with this image. I was thinking about it. I don't know. I was going to YouTube, but all YouTubers are stupid. Yeah. But I liken grace to a moving sidewalk. Some of you guys, like parents, fly, but who's been to like airport? Who's flown on a plane, been to airport? I would assume most of you all. So like, you know, you have the moving sidewalks for the ones that are working. And so for those of you who don't know, it's an escalator that's flat. And it basically just, you know, if you're lazy, well, you got a lot of bags, you get on it and it just goes and then it goes and goes and goes and then you can walk off. Well, that's grace. Right, the moving sidewalk has a destination, and if it's working, grace is always working. It's always on, and it's going where you need to go. It's pointed to your victory, to your blessing, to the part of your life. And when you get on it, then you're in the flow of God. Right? Now, if you're in a really busy airport, like there's all kind of things, like in Chicago Midway, there's like gates and pizza, and you're like, whoa, you step off. And you go that way. Well, your race is to get on this moving sidewalk. That's what the Bible says, that we fight to enter into his rest. Right? So we have an adversary who's like, hey, look at me, I got pizza over here, I got cotton candy, hey, I got this cute boy. Hey, don't get on that. And he's trying to stop you from getting on the moving walkway. But how many know when you get on the moving walkway, it's real easy. I mean, even if you're not walking, you're moving in the right direction. Even if you are, like some people, like my wife, she hates them. She gets scared. She's like, it's moving, and I'm moving. That don't work. So I'm going to be still. You know, me, I'm like, passing's on the left. Move out the way. You know, it's like, I mean, that's what, but even her, right? She gets there. She doesn't have to do anything. Just step on it. And she's moving as fast as the people walking on the side. Right, the people on the side, they're the works. At any point, you can step off the moving walkway and be like, I can get there myself. That's true. We're talking about finishing strong. When you get there, you're going to be a lot more tired than me. Right, because you just walked, you know, over the length of the airport, and I've just been riding. And every once in a while, if I want to take a step, that's fine, I take a step. That's that grace, and that's what you want to do. The Bible says that narrow is the path that leads to righteousness. Wide, are these other paths, these other options. On your moving walkway, there is a lot more regular ground than the moving walkway. But you can only get to one spot in the moving walkway. So the moving walkway doesn't go where you want it to go. It only goes straight ahead that way. Grace only goes to your victory. You want to do something else? You want to take a detour, be unsuccessful? You got to step off. But why? Why would you step off? Now, I know that this has been, you know, a little more maybe scriptural intense, but I think that you're old enough to get this because there are a lot of adults who have a hard time. As soon as I would have said, read the scripture that says whether it's circumcision or uncircumcision, it doesn't matter. The law or not the law, it doesn't matter, right? Then they would have had a problem, right? Because they would have said, well, then, you know, those young people, they're going to do whatever they want. They're going to be like, well, I'm in the grace. I could just do whatever I want. The Bible says the law doesn't help you. I'm not here to give you any law. I'm not here to tell you that running the race requires that you do these things for God. The only requirement to run the race and to finish strong is that you trust in God. And as simple as that message is, it is the hardest thing you will do in your life. Because every challenge you face is a challenge to help you not trust in God. You think you have some kind of challenge with the sickness, some kind of challenge with your parents, some kind of challenge with knowing what to do. No, no, no. You have a challenge with trusting in God. And so if you will just get on that walkway, and if you're too scared to move, it don't matter. It's still moving towards victory. If you're bold and want to walk in the passing lane, have at it, but get on that walkway.